بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Continuing with our kitab, a treatise on the principles of tasawwuf, which is called Usulul Wusul, the Usul principles of reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Last week we discussed a bit in regards to the necessities of mashiikhiyat, or being a guide, being a sheikh. What are the principles, the necessities? So there, we discussed, we'll just go over it very quickly, that the Shaykh also must know the method of making Islah. And he must know the capacity of every murid, every seeker that comes to him, understand his capacity. Secondly, the Shaykh must be covetous of spreading the tariq and benefiting the creation. He must have the zeal that this spiritual fuyuz and barakah that he's received from his sheikh must spread amongst the people, and should direct his attention to the teachings of his sheikh and how he can spread. And in reality, this is the waratha and the miras inheritance from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. This must spread knowledge, ilm, and also islah of the people. They shouldn't be hard and harsh and severe on the seekers, for progress takes place in. So the shuyukh should not be unduly hard and severe on the talibin, the seekers, for progress takes place in the perfection of the shuyukh by virtue of the seekers' quest and desire. We discuss this also, that when the muridin, they come with talab and desire, then this also boosts the sheikh, like how the students, madrasa, they're making la mutala also, they're checking the kitabs, now they're questioning the ustaz. So he's going to check up more than them also, to be able to answer all those questions. So it creates in him also some level of perfection, because now he has this type of students and talibin and murids also. Then it is preferable for the shuyukh to devote greater attention towards the rectification of character rather than towards instruction and teaching. This is very important. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also mentioned that I have been sent to perfect good character. I have been sent to perfect good character. So this, not only is your ibadat, to get that also perfected, and also our character, that we don't harm anyone, we don't cause taklif to anyone. In this day and age, the situation with the majority of the mashayikh is the very opposite. It's the very opposite, where they don't pay so much of attention to the character. It's more ibadat, or they have certain departments they pay attention towards. Whereas the character is the most important. How to become a real insan? How to become a real insan at every stage? As we mentioned, Allah Ta'ala must teach us how to be ummatis, how to be the slaves of Allah, how to be parents, how to be children, how to be brothers, how to see authority, how to recognize authority. Sami'na wa ata'na, that we heard and we will obey. Right? Unlike an animal, it can hear you but won't obey you. So I still have these qualities in me. And mashayikh say also, there are different categories of animals. An insan fits into one of those categories if his islah is not made. You see, like you have the cows. Have the cows, their whole life is only chewing. They carry on eating and chewing, and nothing bothers them. Whether the fly comes sits, whether some bird comes and sits on them, whether the calf is hungry also, the calf is running behind the mother. Mother is just moving on. They say some people are like that also. They're just carrying on for themselves. They worry about no one. Whether the family is up or down, depressed or happy, they chala kare. Gari ka naam chalna hai. What's the car? Carries on moving. They say, but carry on moving. Don't look back. So nothing bothers him. He's just moving. Anything happens also, he's just moving. So like one cow. Then you have those that are, so to say, parasites. That they live off others by causing harm to them. You have those type of animals, like the carnivores, wild cats, etc. Right in the jungle, they live off, they prey on other animals. So you have some insan like that also, waiting for opportunity to take benefit from others. So you have some insan like that. He won't really make an effort for himself, but he live off others. Then, so his character also is like that. Then they said the worst of them is like the reptiles, that they'll harm others with no benefit. Just like to cause the cliff. Just like to cause the cliff. We had one sati, so to say, in our class during school also. And father was very strict. But just to some masti, just to have some fun, so to say. So the house was on a blind spot, so to say. So what they should do is to put some rocks in the road. So when the cars are coming over the blind spot, they don't see the rocks. So when the car is hit, it's to damage the cars, they should have fun seeing that. Now you're getting fun causing the cleave to others. That was fun. But some people are like that now. So much of shararat and evilness in them, they're causing harm to others, they become happy. So the Mashayikh say these are all beastly qualities in insan. But doesn't understand, doesn't recognize it, that I have all these qualities. People get taklif, I get happy. Or a person just got rejected or something like that, it brings happiness to me. But no benefit to you. No benefit. Oh, he didn't get the contract, I got it. Bring him joy. I got it, he didn't get it. So all these are animal qualities. So how to change this to become real insani qualities, like Sahaba radiallahu anhum, where they had the highest level, where they gave up everything. They used to forego their rights for other people to take benefit. So this should be nurtured in a person's heart. Then the fifth quality of becoming a guide is not until total congeniality, what you call munasabat, affinity with the murid is developed, should bi'at be resorted to. There has to be some affinity that the murid and the shaykh also, what does the Hakim Sabu, you say they must click. Blood type must click, must agree. Then officially we take the bi'at. The path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is opposed to sabotage and part forming being entered into. The path of Allah is opposed to sabotage, and you get sabotaged. Like how some mashayikh say that the person will come take bi'at now, but the shaykh, not because of the shaykh, because there's top murids over here right now, can do some top business over here. This is the khanka to join. Right? The chow is good over here, the sufferers are good also, and the company is good. But whether it's that place or not, we'll see by the way it'll happen. So it's a sabotage now. So is that about sabotage and part forming being entered into? That you just enter into it just partly, not completely. Then the sixth necessity of being a guide is necessary that the shuyukh should not consider bi'at as a conditional for tarbiyat, ta'aleem, and the flowing of the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this person is coming to the masjid, but he's not bad to me. So he doesn't have ta'aluk with me. No, but he's there. He's taking benefit. Is there a precondition that he has to take bi'at for him to take benefit from the shaykh? So he should have an open heart that all must get benefit. Not only certain people who are there, but everyone should benefit. So is that a precondition? Yes, as the Thani rahimullah used to say, that bi'at sunnat hai or islah farz hai. To take bi'at is sunnat, but to make islah is farz. But he would say, in our zamana also, people don't bind themselves, then they're free. Then I'll go here a little bit, then I'll go there also a little bit. I'm not bound to anybody. I'm a freelancer. Right? So he's not bound, so he won't make mashwara also. Whereas unlike before, although many of them weren't bi'at, or some of them weren't bi'at, but then too they were committed. And they would take full benefit and they would make mashwara also. Many are the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who have reached the ultimate goal merely by diligent obedience to the mu'allim. So he's not bi'at with the shaykh, so he calls him a mu'allim, he's my teacher. Right? So I go to him and I learn from him how to become an insan. So there are many that reach the goal. But obviously they had that level of talab, desire, loyalty and commitment. And by informing the shaykh or the mu'allim of the inner conditions without resorting to bi'at. So there were those. And there were amongst our mashayikh also that also gave khilafat to ulama and seekers and talibin without even being bi'at to them. That they gave them even khilafat also. He gave khilafat without being bi'at because he saw this person already has a certain level of kamal and perfection in him. Then we do chapter 3, the rights of the Shaykh. Remember, we're reading this now to learn. We all are learning how to be seekers, how to be those that have talab and desire for reform. So when we go in the company of the mashayikh and the ulama and the seniors, how to carry ourselves out. Now, nobody really taught us. We trial and error. We don't know how to sit properly there now. How I must listen, right? Whether I must smile, don't smile, shake my head, don't shake my head, whether I must laugh or don't laugh. So we've got to understand now even the etiquette of the majalis. So when you go to our seniors, and Imam Dawla Sahib always mentions, that is a very important point when it comes to ilm and dhikr, etc. You will say to visit the ulama also is a special ibadat. Just to go and visit them, to go make salam to them, and to take du'as. Now, we don't even know the etiquette of it. Right? Whether you make a phone call first, ask for some time, what to take or don't take anything, to meet them, what to tell them, don't tell them. Now, when you go in tabligh, so we hear when the Purana Sati's Jor, they tell us, when you go to the ulama ikram, don't make tashkil, give some kar-guzari, ask for dua, take some hadiyah. So a little bit of etiquettes we learn from there. But these are important etiquettes. And when we go there, how to present ourselves to them. Because these are the waratha and these are the heirs of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. They are carrying their inheritance in their hearts right now. So how do I present myself to the ulama ikram to take full benefit from them? Among the things that we learned, when you get to the senior ulama ikram and you're sitting with them, then you make the intention, Ya Allah, what level of knowledge, what level of ilm, knowledge and ihsan, ihsan, taqwa, iman, he's on, Ya Allah, let that rub onto me. So I make an intention. I'm sitting there now, I'm sitting with an open heart. And then, Azra says also, when people come with an open heart, we can feel it. Now we can see they're all ears. They're all ears, our tongue starts moving. Now we want to talk. We want to talk, we want to give more now. You can see that person, how he's sitting, he came with talab and desire, and he wants something. So he says, when we get ears, then the tongue starts moving. Then we want to talk, and then we find how he's enjoying it. We enjoy talking also. We enjoy talking. So how to present ourselves where they feel that person came for something. Like how you're going to make a deal with someone. I want to make this deal. So in the same way, we're going to the mashayikh, we're going to make this deal right now. We want something from them, we want to return with something. So what's the etiquette? What is the rights of the sheikh, the rights of the ulama ikram? So these rights have been extracted from the kitab called Furu'ul Iman. So obviously those that are in this field, they'll understand it. Now people might listen and say, these are so heavy. But when we go for an interview, how heavy that is. Go to the corporate world, right? You must what kind of socks are you wearing? What kind of shoes? The fellow, he'll measure you up now, right, from head to toe. How you dressed, how the tie, whether it's crooked, whether it's straight, right? How is he dressed, how's his appearance, how he comes through, how confident he is, whether he's overconfident, whether he's underconfident, all that now. They're going to check you out. So they'll be so particular. And then we're going to send a whole CV before that. And then how we present ourselves. Right? Whether we put this type of fragrance or that perfume. So it's so much just to get one job. Just to get one job. And sometimes you just get disqualified because of one point. Didn't answer this correctly. You lost the whole job. Is that losing one job? Yeah, I can make my akhirat. I can make my dunya also. But when we mention these points, when it comes to deen, as you mentioned, they say, no, what's this? Hero worship. Sheikh worship. That now to go by the mashayikh and they say, they're also insan, what are you making them so? But when you go for that interview, also insan. Why do your jumpers and go? Wear some sandals and go? Wear your kurta and go? Say, no, I've got a job interview. It's be formal dress. There's certain way how I must dress also and how I must present myself. But so there now we understand when it comes to dunya. When it comes to deen, then people say, no, where they got all these things from now? So Allah Ta'ala, give us understanding. So they say, come into the presence of the Shaykh having made miswak and having worn clean clothes. So, this is one of the etiquettes. When you come in the presence, remember, we're coming there. And all this also is also derived from different hadith and riwayat. We have the hadith of Jibreel, alayhi salatu wasalam, how he came into the court in the majlis of Nabi, alayhi salatu wasalam. Bayad al-Sha'r. Bayad al-Sha'r. Thawad al-Sha'r. So his hair was neat, it was black, shining. Bayad al-Thawb, clothes were white and absolutely neat as he walked in. La yura ali athru safar, that there was no effects of even a journey on him. But we didn't know him. He walked in, anybody comes into the Masjid al-Nabawi, Sahaba Ikram recognized him, he's among the locals. But he didn't look from among the locals, so he's a traveler. So if he came from out, it should be that disheveled hair. Clothes should have been all creased and dirty also, full of dust. But he's looking tip-top. So from here also, ulama extract that the ustaz also should be dressing properly. Student also. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was just as particular. And Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he came also now, he came as an ustaz, so to say, to take examination. He also came like that, tip-top. Very clean, looking good, smelling good. So coming through the presence of the Shaykh, having made miswak and having worn clean clothes. approach him with respect. Like how he came also, he sat down. فَاسْنَدْ رُكْبَتَيْهِ إِلَىٰ رُكْبَتَيْهِ وَوَضَعَ كَفَّيْهِ عَلَىٰ فَخِذَيْهِ. How he sat, the shahud style. He joined his knee to the knee of Nabi alayhi salat, so close that it was now to draw the attention of Sahaba ikram. Who's this person? Just came and sat down. And he sat so close, he joined his knees to the knees of Nabi alayhi salat wa salam. Then he placed his hand upon his thighs, or maybe upon the thighs of Nabi alayhi, and went into his face and asked him certain questions. So approach him with respect. Gaze at him with dignity, honor and esteem. This also important, as it, when he came recently also, Nash'ar were being rendered, and you see our sati is now how they just sit now, with no expression. As I asked by you all, didn't enjoy it. Nobody alive over here right now. At least now you see people are alive, they're taking benefit, they're nodding their head. In class also, when students are listening, the one that nods their head catches your attention. So in a bayan also. So gaze at him with dignity, honor and esteem. Listen with total attention to what he says. Listen with total attention to what he says. But the niyat of remembering or passing it on, of making amal upon it, and to remember the entire bayan. Bear the advices in mind at all times. Whatever the Shaykh mentioned now, then you must always bear in mind. He taught us this, he mentioned this. Now, I have to remember these things and implement them. Number 6, consider that which one does not understand to be due to one's own shortcomings. The Shaykh says something, I did understand it. The Tani Rahimullah would say that as I moved on in the field of tasawwuf, there were many things I understood. So to say, I opened different departments in my mind. One department, whatever I understood, I filed it away, that cabinet. All understood, mafhum. And then there were those things that I didn't understand. So I didn't object to it. Which my kabir, my senior asatiza, my shaykh mentioned something. I just couldn't understand it. Obviously, his level of ilm also was very high. So he says, I didn't object to it. I just put it in one filing cabinet, not understood. And as I went on, as ruhaniyat, spirituality opened up, and maturity opened up, then I began to understand things. Okay, this is why they did this. This is why they said that. Then I found it in this cabinet. So I didn't use that now, so to say, like, what they're talking. Yes, again, Sharia, Quran and Hadith Sharif, then we understand. Oh, this is not right. Then inform the Shaykh. This is how to inform him, inform the Ustaz also. But he says, I kept it within me until I began to understand it. So consider that which one does not understand due to one's own shortcomings. And then you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, I didn't understand this point. Ya Allah, you make me understand it. You make me understand it. And Allah ta'ala will open the heart. Or Allah will open the tongue of the Shaykh. And he'll explain it. Or he'll rectify it. That this wasn't correct. This is the correct thing. Ah, subhanAllah, it opened up now. Now I understand this. The 7th point. Do not quote a viewpoint of anyone in opposition to him in his presence. So now, yes, if it's a discussion with the Shaykh, then you can explain to him. Some ulama are saying this. But now you may get a point, but Hazrat, that alim says that. You saying this now, but he's saying that. So don't quote any other alim's viewpoint in front of the Shaykh to the extent to Hazrat will say. But sometimes, even the muridin or the student, now, imagine your son tells you, hey, that boy's father, he stops, he takes him here, he does that for him. How father will feel? So imagine now, a student in a madrasa also telling the ustaz, you know, the student at the madrasa, the Shaykh al-Hadith is tops. But I'm teaching you Bukhari here, yeah? And you're talking about that ustaz. So how you think this ustaz now should give you anymore? Your mind is there. So what happens sometime, amongst the muridin also, some khankas, where the murid tells the Shaykh, hey, but the Shaykh is tops, his bayans, and then post it in the Shaykh's group. The Shaykh's group puts somebody else's bayan there. Shaykh posts somebody's bayan is different. But now, you post on your Shaykh's group somebody else's bayan. So it shows now you don't have the confidence that something is lacking now over here. Now I'm listening to other people's bayans. Alright, so this also we don't have that. Sometimes the Shaykh will sit in a certain person's car, and when he starts the car, he picks some other Shaykh's bayan. But how is that possible? That is playing somebody else's bayan. So it means now there's no commitment. Because it might be a simple bayan. But remember, it's not based on what the Shaykh is saying. It's based on how much you want. So it may be a simple bayan, but what Allah Ta'ala gave you for understanding is much more what you get in other bayans. Because medication is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm committed here. And it may be a simple bayan. As I say, is that a flowery bayan? Oh, what's it called? Bombastic. It's a simple bayan. But I'm getting full nutrition from here, full nourishment from here. It's a simple bayan, but the rosas, I kept 90s rosas. Zul Hijjah. It was something fancy, but I got inspired. I kept it. So the work got done. But sikanka tamasha is entertainment to the ears, but that his presentation, but no amal following it up. But here, simple bayan, I came with desire, I came with talab, Allah Ta'ala gave me tawfiq. Is that about now how the presentation was? Rasulullah Khan Sahib Rahimullah would say also, different people come for different majalis and bayans. Some have nothing to do at home. Chalo, we go sit in the bayan. He said, they'll get some benefit. Then you have those that had talab and desire, Allah will give them more than what they came for. Then you had those now that actually came to see the presentation of the bayan. How was the grammar? How the synonyms, antonyms? What a presentation, what a bayan. So they had to get benefit. They only benefit on the presentation. And if the presentation wasn't according to their standard, and then they'll, what they will do? They'll criticize the bayan. Say, better they didn't come. This is detrimental for them now. Allah's talks was given. Nabi Ali Salatu Salam's talks were given. And now you're criticizing how the speaker presented it. Is what amal you going to make upon it? Is that about how he presented it? Is the amal you going to make? So do not quote a viewpoint of anyone in opposition to him in his presence. Number 8 is, if someone speaks ill of the sheikh, try to the utmost of one's ability to defend him. Otherwise, get up and walk away from such a gathering. So then you've got to gauge also, I'm going to protect my sheikh, it's going to get worse. Now they take out fires I don't hear about, better walk away. I don't have to put, one way of defending him is to walk away. Still defended his honor. Because if I carried on, they might have really now assassinated him. His character, whatever he's saying, etc. Better I don't hear it, better I move on quietly with a smile, like I don't know anything's happening. Number 9, on reaching a gathering in which the sheikh is present, greet all those present with salam, and thereafter, if the sheikh is not occupied in giving a talk or some other activity, to which one salam will be a disturbance or a hindrance, greet him specifically. Then specifically, I walked in, brothers are busy, right? So you can greet them. Then you see whether the ustaz or the sheikh, whether he's busy right now, is busy. Then specially you go and meet him. You also, what happens sometimes, this ghulu extremism comes in, where a person comes to make salam and he bends. The bending also not permissible. That you shake hand with your normal posture. Not you bend down in any way. This is correct. That bending down is a part of the sunnah. So we shake and we make salam without bending or bowing to the sheikh. Number 10, do not laugh and talk much in the presence of the sheikh. Do not look around here and there. Do not pay attention to anyone else. In fact, one's total attention will be devoted to the sheikh. Don't laugh and talk much in the presence of the sheikh. Yes, sometimes the mashayikh, they come down to our level, just to accommodate us. What happens sometimes now, we're giving one story in the back. So loud you talking, the sheikh, Kalim Aliyah himself talking also. And now, and it's carrying on, carrying on, carrying on. So, Hazrat, sometimes when you're eating somewhere, Hazrat calls the host and makes dua for him. But you find others now, they're having a go at the meal. They know what Hazrat is giving du'as right now. At least learn how he's giving du'as. How he's saying you must pay for the meal, don't eat for free. But they came for the free meal. And Hazrat must pay for it. He must give the du'as. So they're not even listening also. And talking away, and talking away, and talking about things which are irrelevant. What you came to learn right now. You came to learn from the sheikh how to eat. Look at his habit, how he eats, how he makes a du'a, how he drinks. To learn all these things. So do not laugh and talk much in the presence of the sheikh. Do not look around here and there. Do not pay attention to anyone else. In fact, one's total attention must be devoted to the sheikh. Number 11, bear in mind the rights of the sheikh both in his presence and absence. What the rights of the sheikh is, whether he's there or he's not there. Because remember, after having that affinity, you become a deputy of the sheikh. So people see you, what they want to see? What your sheikh taught you. So keep his rights also in his absence. They're not now when I'm not there, now I'm different now. Now the lingo will change, the dialect will change, the behavior will change. People say, but when you're sitting there like one big buzruk, yeah. And now you're not there like one big shaitan, yeah. So what are you going there for? What are you learning? So in both places, whether we're there, whether we're not there, to keep in mind the teachings and the rights of the sheikh. Number 12, from time to time bring cheer to his heart by giving him some gift and by corresponding with him. So hadiyah also is on his place and by speaking to the Shaykh. Bring some. Hazrat says also, we're talking so much, we're teaching you all, and we're telling you all, teaching you all and telling you all. But no karguzari, no report back. Right? No report back. At least you can send a message, you're benefiting. So at least we get happy. Even we get happy that they are benefiting. Right? Because the only thing we hear sometimes is, Hazrat, hey, still slipped up, and then I can't get going, and I can't do that. Everything, but yeah, Allah, we're telling him so much, how come he's not getting going still? Something wrong with me, maybe? Or he's not saying anything. Whether he's going or not going, or he's just stuck in the mud, don't know what's the problem right now. At least sometime now and then, give some good car guzari, as he's told us one time. So we get inspired, we get inspired now to give more. Alhamdulillah, they're doing it now. We said a certain thing, they started the wazifa. We said a certain amal, they started that. Oh, he kept the roza. Oh, started his kafara. Oh, he finished all his qaza namaz. Alhamdulillah. So we just give dua, ya Allah, alhamdulillah. Somebody is listening at least. And somebody is making amal at least. Otherwise, he said, we don't hear anything, so we don't know really now. Whether we just carry on, we blowing hot air, anybody is taking benefit, not taking benefit, we don't know. So, and that to Hazrat would say, said the best hadiah, the best gift is to inform us, mashallah, what you're doing right now. Alhamdulillah, you're progressing. Like our one ustaz, we used to ask him also, Hazrat, some khidmat for you. So you make my khidmat, no problem, study hard. That's the best khidmat for me. Study hard, study well, know your kitab, know it well. That makes me most happy than anything else. Alhamdulillah, you are benefiting, you are progressing. Alhamdulillah. Then number 13, have this firm and unshakable conviction that one's objective will be acquired through one's sheikh alone. So it's like a marriage, that I have only one sheikh and I take full benefit from him and from nobody else. Hazrat told us also, he said once, I told us, Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat, my ears just can't listen to anybody else's bayan. I just can't, I don't have it. I only can listen to your voice and your bayan. Others, the kids are told him, now you have the nisbat. Now that affinity is there. Where you only can hear my voice. And that is when Allah Ta'ala will take you very high. Where I've got one point of contact, I'm taking everything from there. I'm getting everything from there. The Zulhijjah is coming, Ramadan is coming, I've got all my teachings, I've got all my inspiration, and I'm making all the amal. He said, now Allah Ta'ala will give you more than your expectation also. Otherwise, it becomes kanka tamasha, as for entertainment for the ears. Listen a little bit there, that's a good speaker, that's a good bayan over there. Yes, so carry on. Then Hazrat says, yes, you can't be with the Shaykh all the time. Jummah bayan, you go somewhere, somebody else is speaking. Sometimes some big line somewhere you have to go, somebody is speaking there. But then too, you're sitting there, but where the heart is? I want to be there. Where my Shaykh is, even if he's not giving bayah, but my heart is with him. Then Shah Wasiullah Rahimullah would say, Shah Wasiullah, who was the Khalifa of Shah Shafari Thami Rahmatullah Ali, he would say that for the murid, murid is the person who has irada, who has his intention to change. He says he has his intention is so strong in his heart, he would say that if the murid cannot take benefit from the silence of the Shaykh, then he will not take benefit from the speech of the Shaykh. Even silence, sitting there silently also. But I'm still taking benefit. Why? As it says, there's still messages going through. There's still messages going through. And he says, I'm taking benefit still. I'm still seeing, put my head down, but my connection is there. Ya Allah, whatever is in the heart, let it come through. Let it come through. He said, now when he will speak, he said, now I'll take even more benefit. So take benefit from the silence and benefit from his speech also. And then when I'm going for somebody else's bayan, I'm going there. Then Hazrat would say that what you must think to yourself is, although this person is giving the bayan, but in reality, this is the bayan of my Shaykh on his tongue. So my heart is still linked there. This is coming from my Hazrat, coming from my Shaykh. So medication is just coming via this doctor. Right? He just messaged him and he's now issuing the script or the medication. But in reality, it's coming from there. So the affinity and the muhabbat and the love is still there. That if one's attention wavers in some other direction towards someone else, I will remain deprived of the faiz and the barakat, the bounties and the blessings of one's murshid and sheikh. Number 14, be subservient to the sheikh in all matters and serve him with one's life and wealth, because minus the love of the sheikh, nothing will be achieved. Nothing will be achieved. This also, people will say, now where you got this from? Give hadiyah and serve him with your life and your wealth. Because minus the love of the Shaykh, nothing will be achieved. This we learn from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Sahaba radiallahu anhu, that who could match Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. When they came to his wealth, when they came to his time, the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would tell him, Inna amana an-nasa aliyya, the most kind to me in regards to suhbatihi wa malihi, in regards to his suhbat, companionship and wealth, was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Allah will repay him. When he came to his wealth, he gave everything. When he came to his sohbat also, how he waited, Ya Rasul, sohbat, Allah will be with you. Hijrah, when you going? I got the camels ready. And how he waited the day, Nabi alayhi salam came and told him, today we're going. Oh, it was ecstatic. I've been waiting for this day that I'll join you. So, he was so close to Nabi alayhi salam. So he showed us practically that how it is now to be close to the one that you love. So serve him with one's life and wealth. The sign of one's love for the Shaykh is to carry out his instructions. This is a sign of love. What he taught me, that is what I am doing now. To practice the actions one sees him performing without his permission, very importantly. Now recently on Safar also, somebody mentioned to Hazrat in Cape Town, Hazrat, I read on virtue of a certain amal, that you read these surahs at night and these surahs, you get so much of a reward, it comes a hadith sharif. So Hazrat, must you do it? Say, do what I tell you. Say, do what I tell you to do. Then you will get more. You will get more. Yes, if I tell you to do that, make mashwara, then differently. What I told you, you just do that now. What I prescribed to you. Otherwise, you find in the market many different medication. Right? There comes something new. This new product has come out, good for everything. Then it turns out later on it's good for nothing. You say, what happened? But so much you spent. Then something else will come out. Something else will come out. The Shaykh tried and tested, mashayikh have tested, you just carry on with this for a good amount of time until you're soaked in it. Until you're soaked in it, then you come back for mashwara. Then they'll tell you, right, okay, add this on. Or the Shaykh will say in the bayan, he's moved one level higher. So he'll introduce something more now. And I'll do this amal now. Then he'll teach it to you. So you just carry on. Now you're getting the full barakat of it. The full barakat of it. So the sign of one's love for the Shaykh is to carry out his instructions, not practice the actions one sees him performing without his permission. I saw him doing certain thing. I just want to follow him. So you ask him first. Hazrat, I saw this, can I do it also? Now he's keeping roza every day. Oh, his certain wazaif or amal he's doing specifically his Shaykh gave him just for him to do. Now I want to do it also without prescription. No, you ask him. Hazrat, can I do this also? Then he will promote you to do it. For the times he acts upon such actions which are suitable to his state, to his level of iman and condition, but which will prove disastrous for the murid to act upon. You might think, hey, I must do this also. Right? Hazrat is keeping roza, I'll keep every day. But you're a young man now. I'm already old. You can't keep roza every day. You keep Monday and Thursday. Or Yamul Bid, 13, 14, 15. So accordingly, he'll give you mashwara. Like our Zakim Sahib Rahimahullah, which one of our Satiza told us, Zakim Sahib was here, then that Alim bought him a cardigan, this sleeveless jersey with buttons. So he bought him a brown color one. So Zakim Sahib put it on. I said, how I look? He said, Hazrat, looking very beautiful. So that young Alim told me, Hazrat, I'm also going to buy one like that. He said, no. You must buy a smart one for your wife. So you look nice for her. I'm an old man now. This is suitable for me. Now you know where? Wife will say, you look like an old man now. It's like a doho. Like one baji you're looking. So this is alright for me now. For you, you must dress nice, smart for her, so you look attractive for her. See our balance there. So now you might see my Shaykh is wearing like this now. So I can also make mashwara and ask. Then I tell you accordingly, no, hold on, bhai. I can wear like this right now. Your wife is at this level. Now you've got so much affinity with the Shaykh. He knows your domestic life, your house atmosphere, what the temperature there. Alright, now my husband is wearing 2-piece kurta, now I'm going to cut all my kurta. Wife said, what are you doing now? What are you doing? Cutting all your kurtas now. Just bought you new ones. So you know, husband is wearing like that. Hold on, make mashwara first. Right? Then she said, you know, do you know where the kurta? I'm not coming with you anyway. Alright, I want you to wear a certain type of kurta. Then, understandable. Now, you're going to make something farz upon you. They have a problem with your nikah after that. Now, that's why you got to ask. You got to ask now, Now, whether it's topi, whether it's kurta, whether certain mahzad uses now certain itar, now I want to use that now. She said, I'm getting a headache with the thing. No, my mahzad uses it. You must like it also. But you're not a hazrat still. When you become a hazrat, then you can start using the itar. For now, you just use now the neutral ones, the white musk and etc. Then, so that's why these things we've got to ask. We've got to ask the mashayikh and hazrat using, doing it. And then you see the temperament of the person, temperament of the family also. Accordingly now, we ask and we do. So we don't just follow this like that. 15, read only the wazaif and the roods, etc., which the murshid and the sheikh prescribes. Now what happens sometime? Hazrat mentioned also, leave out all other wazaif, whether they be those one has started reading on one's own, or whether they have been prescribed for one by someone else. Now maybe before that you were reading something. Now the sheikh says you may read only this. No, but I still got the old one, I still want to read that. Why, in case the barakah disappears? I got barakah all these years for that wazaif, now I want to stick to that one. You do what the sheikh told you now. You do what the sheikh told you, and you see the barakah. This will pull all that barakah. And subhanAllah, Zakim Sahib Rahimahullah, all the wazaif he gave us of my hadith in Quran Sharif. All the extra ones now, right? They say do this so many times, that so many times, all that now. What do you call wazifas? That has Zakim Sahib took it out, said this comes in a hadith Sharif, comes in Quran Sharif, even istighfar also. Hazrat recently gave the whole bayan, muzakara, again he made. Zakim Sahib Rahimahullah, one of his bayans, he mentioned also, best istighfar. The best istighfar which Nabi alayhi salatu was commanded to make. وَقُلْ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ أَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّحِمِينَ. The Quran comes in 18 para. The Nabi of Allah is commanded, say, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ أَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّحِمِينَ. This is the best istighfar you can make. Because Allah Ta'ala gave this command in Quran Sharif. So make this, want us to be of this type of istighfar also. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ. The Gibbs have taught us also how to make it. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Allah, Ya Rahim. They say it with fervor and feeling. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Rabbi ighfir wa arham, anta khairu rahimin. Say Allah will forgive you. How Allah will forgive your sins? Are you calling to Allah? Ya Umma, Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Allah, Rabbi ighfir, Ya Allah, my Rabb, forgive. Have mercy, you are the best of those that show mercy. So read only those wazaif which the Shaykh gave you, or the Durood Sharif, which the Shaykh mentioned in the bayans. Read those wazaif. Or sometime you come in his kitab, or they send a post out from the khanka, read this Durood Sharif. So read that. Now, you're pulling the barakat from the sheikh. We'll just finish till 20, inshallah. Number 16, in the presence of one's sheikh, one must constantly focus one's attention on him. So much so that besides the faraiz, wajibat, and sunan, one must not read any nawafil or wazaif without his permission. They say in the presence of the ones, Shaykh, one must constantly focus one's attention on him. So much so that besides the faraiz, sometimes we go with Hazrat and Safar also. Now Hazrat will tell us in the bayans, by 17 rakats Isha, then 6 rakats Awabin, then Ishraq, then Salat al-Duha. But you go on Safar, now Hazrat says, I must read all of this. Oh, Qafla finished waiting for you. Hazrat and Safar now read only sunnats. Only sunnats. Bayan is going to start. Oh, the Mezban, the host is waiting right now. Alright, the host, and now I'm reading my two rakah sitting nafil. Now, but I'm same count, Hazrat. The Hazrat is waiting for you. But Hazrat, you said 17 rakats. But you didn't say I finished. And I came early at 2 and 3. Go and suffer right now. People are waiting for us. There's a whole crowd over here right now. So we got to be sharp also. Be awake. That what's the amal right now? What's he doing right now? He's already finished and he's gone. And now I'm going to finish my. I want to finish it. So we see on Safar what he's doing when he's traveling, and Hazar when he's a resident back home, what his amal is there. And so he says, so that besides the faraiz, wajibat, and sunan, one must not read any nawafil or wazaif without his permission. If you're coming on Safar now, so you see, you don't have to ask sometime, you can see that now the Shaykh is not reading nawafil also, not reading wazifas also. Why he's not doing it now? Hadith Sharif says. Person who has a habit of reading Nawafil, Wazaif, Quran Sharif, etc., all his amal, which he's doing as a resident at home. And then he goes on to suffer. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs the malaika, they continue writing as if he's done it, rifling the reward. So when he becomes ill or he goes on the suffer, then Hadith Sharif, Hazrat calls this now retirement fund or pension fund. Alright? or you got traveling allowance. See, the hadith from the Hadith Sharif, traveling allowance. You go and travel, allowance is open still. Allah says, carry on writing. He's sleeping now, right? Whether he's on the plane, there's no time for tahajjud, they stepped away. Malaika already, right, he's doing tahajjud right now. Why he was doing it at home? He has 17 rakat isha, he was doing it at home. Oh, he got sick right now, can't make it to the masjid. What's the writing? He's in the masjid right now. Because he was doing it when he was healthy. So Hazrat says, see, retirement fund. Allah Pak gives retirement fund also. You did it for 20 years, 40 years, 50 years, now you're sick 20 years. Malaika said, writing, full reward for you. You're going in the path of Allah, chilla every year, the writing for you is giving his chilla also. Number 17, to the utmost of one's ability, avoid standing in such a position whereby one's shadow falls upon the sheikh or his clothes. That as far as possible. This also now, we don't make takalluf. Formalities, hey, don't stand here. Don't stand here, the shadow is there. Understand? Oh, you're standing on the shadow. That's for myself then. That's for myself. Understand? If I can help it, even for one's father also, not only for the sheikh, to give the respect to one's father also. Then now you don't tramp his toes, right? You don't walk on his clothes, and you keep respect of your father also. This is your spiritual father. So there also we are taught, don't walk in front of the father. Right? Unless he tells you, by walk in front. Walk in front, then it's different. Right? Like Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also, when he walked, he didn't make it a thing now that he must walk himself in front. Sahaba ikram would walk around him, walk in front of him also. So there was the kallufi, there was informality. So, where one shadow falls upon the sheikh or his clothes, or on his clothes. Number 18, do not place one's feet on his musalla. Don't place one's feet on his musalla. Now you enter his room or something. Now you stepping on his musalla. We were taught in madrasa also, where the ustah sits there. Don't put your feet over there, because that is the seat you're getting knowledge from. So respect that place. Respect the place where you're getting your ilm from. So here now I'm getting my ruhaniyat. So respect that place also. Number 19, do not use the place he uses for taharat wudu for one's own taharat wudu. Unless he tells you, but you carry on, use this place, make wudu here. No problem. Can use the bathroom also, no problem. Otherwise, we don't go in there, maybe because his own private things over there now. Right? So, person should not use that place. Do not use the utensils of the sheikh. Do not use his utensils. But this permission is different. He gave it to you, but you drink from this, nobody can eat from here. Come eat with me. Like one incident comes to mind. Professor Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, when he went to Thana Bhavan, and there were three mashayikh there. It was Hafiz Zamin Shaheed, it was there. Then Muhaddis Thani was there. And Haji Imdadullah Muhaji Makki Rahmatullah. All three were mashayikh. They all were staying in the same khanqa in Thana Bhavan. Professor Gangohi came, and he came to Haji Imdadullah Muhaji Makki Rahmatullah Ali. Already when he came, Ashraf Gangohi was on a very high level already, but wasn't officially bi'at to Haji Sahib, Imdadullah Mahaji Makki Rahmatullah Ali. So it came time for meals. So he sat down quietly, one corner. So Haji Sahib called him. He said, have meals with me. Have meals with me. What an opportunity. Now, a person like me sitting with Haji Imdadullah and having meals with him from the same plate. One piece roti we break in together and we eating the same dar. And the way he was enjoying it, yalla, alone, with such a hasti, such a personality. And then one of the other two mashayikh, they came into the room. And they saw two of them eating. So, he commented and he told, as a Gangohi, Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, he says, you're really enjoying your food with your sheikh, huh? What a moment, what maja are you having right now? So at that moment now, you could have got off, pride will come into him. Like, you know, like I'm the chosen one to sit over here right now. Well, he just looked down. And Haji Sahib looked at him. Haji Sahib looked at him. Now, it was like in the first time they met. So Haji Sahib, just to test him, really he came with genuine love, talab, desire, and he came as nothing. So he told that Hafiz Zamin Shahizab, I think it was, he said, he's lucky he's eating with me. Or I've treated him like a dog, put him on corner and give him dry roti. Imagine somebody tells you that. And when he told him that, Haji Sahib looked at his face and there was no change. There was no change. He realized that he's already flying. He regards himself even worse than a dog also. That I've been given a bowl to eat. with such a person over here, we gauge already that already Hazrat Gangohi was flying. A different level of annihilation already. So, and they regard this as the fazl of Allah. Ya Allah Ta'ala, you gave me the opportunity. Where can I have pride in something like that? As a person can think now that, you know, Hazrat saw something in me. So he told me to eat with him. So some virtue I have within me. But when he tested him, he realized he didn't even have this feeling in his heart also. That I'm really nothing. It's all the barakat and the fazl of Allah and the faith and the barakat of my Shaykh. Then as it says, the last point, number 20, do not eat, drink or make wudu in his presence. Do not eat, drink or make wudu in his presence. Yes, there is no harm in this after permission has been granted. That now you're sitting there and you take a little sweet pop in your mouth now. So he says it's unbecoming. Right? To do something like to eat or to drink or to make wudu in his presence also. Right? This now if you take permission, can I just have something right now? No problem. Go ahead. Oh, you have the ta'aluk with the Shaykh. You have the informal ta'aluk with the Shaykh, alhamdulillah. You understand one another. You build that relationship. That the Shaykh already knows. Now I know he has tea every day this time. But you make your tea, you carry on it. You have your tea, right? I know you got sugar problems, so I have more cakes. No problem. You enjoy yourself. Now, how the Shaykh knows it? Because the taluk is there. So he knows after Fajr, for this person's stomach to work and for his magaj to work, like Hazrat said one time, Murid came, Hazrat, I'm not addicted to tea really. Because Hazrat spoke about tea, etc. He said, I'm not addicted to tea. But if I don't have, I get a headache. So they say, what that means? You're addicted to it. You're addicted to it. You don't even understand you're addicted to it. But the Shaykh knows also, okay, at a certain time he has to have a certain thing. So he'll tell him, by quietly, you carry on. You go ahead, make your tea quietly, and you drink it. So at least your magaj can work. So that's now there's muhabbat, the affinity. You have the ta'aluk with the Shaykh. He understands you. You understand him also. You understand? So he knows you, and you know the Shaykh also. Like Abu Hazrat also, we know. When it comes to eating, he will not ask. But we know the meals, that now our Hazrat, a certain Shaykh, he likes to have his tea with the meals. But commonly what we have the tea when? After the meals. Alright? So Hazrat now will have it with these meals. Now we know. Now you got to be awake to understand it and to know it. Okay, this is the time. He'll have it. There's a time. That time now he likes to have half a cup. Now he likes to have juice at that time. So like this, now that the affinity taluk is built, so now you know how to carry these things out, and that's where you get rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala give us understanding, inshaAllah.